The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, they can all get it, man. Anybody above me can get it, and they're gonna get it.
Calvin Kattar, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, everybody, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are hanging out. Today we have Brent Okamoto from ESPN, and we also have the great Calvin Kattar. Hopefully, you never know. I hope these things happen.
Jimmy, how you holding up, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm okay. I mean, I worked out before and ran home, so I'm sweaty. I've been trying to keep I'm doing this intermittent fasting, where I'm eating from 11 to 7 only, and I'm trying not to I'm trying to drop a few pounds. So intermittent fasting is 8 hours on, 16 off.
Well, I've been unfortunately eating some chocolate Cadbury eggs. And you know what's funny? I'm not a huge Twix fan. I like a Twix.
Yeah, I love it.
Twist Easter eggs. Hey, hold the fort, man. I mean, hold the fort.
Hold the fort.
Thank you. Delicious. How you liking the quarantine beard?
How am I liking the quarantine beard?
You don't like it.
I don't mind it, but you're so normally rosy looking. This, I feel like you look like a different, like this is a Matt that you don't want to see coming at you.
You don't want to see this guy in a dog.
No. You look different. You look different than my friendly, happy Matt.
It's like Bizarro. It's Bizarro, Kimura Savage. I've been shaving my head still though, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that. So I still feel, I have to go through that ritual, but my kids like to play with it.
Oh, they like, okay.
At
you
first,
shave it into a goatee. Do a goatee and make it jet black like Steven Seagal. Awful. Do a goatee and make it jet black like Steve, or a Hitler mustache. Just do something really crazy and don't explain it to anybody.
I'm going to fuck with it, Jimmy. We'll see. I can't do a mustache. I'll look like a moron. But a goatee, who knows?
Yeah,
also, by the way, I'm not on Twitter, but I've been reading that Israel Adesanya and John Jones have been having a fucking Twitter beef.
They're going back and forth. Yeah, I mean, he gave John a hard time about his arrest. And, I mean, look, they both, again, I'm sure that they have feelings for each other. They both know. I mean, for Jones, how many big money fights are left in the light heavyweight division? And fucking Adesanya, there's a couple of guys. I mean, Paulo Costa. But, I mean, that's a much bigger fight for both of them than anybody in their respective divisions.
Well, when Adesanya and Costa fight, Paulo Costa, I can't wait for that one, man.
Me neither. That's a fight.
Dana called that one right, where he's like, look, he might have miscalculated with Romero. But Romero, to his credit, does fight like that often. Counterfighter. Sure. And this.
Yes.
The other guy, Paulo Costa, has no fear. He is just a lion. Like, and just from their physiques alone, the other guy's slick and skinny and like a cat, and the other guy's like a big beefcake. It just, it reminds me of like a comic book. I love it, right?
I do too. And by the way, the thing is weird too, is like when Adesanya fought Whitaker had gone 10 straight rounds with Yoel Romero, and then he knocks him out, and he knocks Whitaker out, and Paulo Costa proved he could take Romero's shots too, though. I mean, they had a brutal fight. That's a fight I'm really interested to see. I mean, I think everybody who gets hit by Adesanya is surprised by how hard he hits. I mean, nobody expected him to drop Brunson. I definitely didn't expect him to drop Whitaker. I figured if he won, it was going to be, you know, on points or TKO in the third or fourth. I certainly didn't expect a knockout the way he dropped him.
And we talked before about Anthony Smith's trespasser, and he got caught on camera. I don't know if you've seen
that. I know.
He looked like a fucking lunatic. That's why, I mean, and it's funny because Joe Rogan got a little bit of shit because he was asking, because, you know, when you read about it, you know, Anthony was saying that one of the toughest fights of his life. And, you know, he took everything I gave him, every punch, every knee, every elbow. He took every single one of them and kept fighting me. So Rogan, and again, I forgot who he was talking to, but he was basically, he's like, why didn't he just choke him? Now, I know that's, and he got some shit like right. for that, like. Like, oh, how could you, like, oh, so easy type of thing. Like, people were, like, giving Joe shit about that. But I don't agree, because Anthony Smith is very good in jiu-jitsu. It's sure. weird. When you're in something, see, this is what I love about jiu-jitsu, is that no matter, this guy could be on PCP. Like, that guy, I believe right. Anthony Smith, when he's saying that, hey, man, this guy was just taking, they might not have it in them. They might be so out of their minds. Right. That it gives them almost like super strength. There's yes. shit like that out there. You see yep. shit like that when guys are like taking, you're getting stunned by cops. And I mean, there's some people that you just need to stop that blood flow. If you know that, if you know someone like, look, I got to get this guy in a I have to strangle this guy. I have to get him in a chokehold. Right. If that's the one, like I have to get to his back. I have to get his neck, you know, because even a guy can fight through even a broken arm. If they're that insane. I'm talking right. about PCP type of insane.
Sure, fucked up.
And that dude from the camera looked out of his fucking mind. So, yeah, if a guy's taking your strikes, I'm not telling it for Anthony Smith. I'm just saying in general, that's what I love about jiu-jitsu, because when you stop that blood flow going to the brain, they're going to sleep.
It doesn't matter how angry or how crazy or how high.
It's not what they could take. It's just – It's science. It's physics. It's just, you're stopping the – they will fight. No matter who it is, they're going to sleep.
Right. You know what it was, Matt? He was a college wrestler, that guy. So I'm wondering if Anthony maybe tried to get in, but maybe the guy was just too good at defending, or, you know, the guy was a college wrestler. So that's another reason. He was probably used to some type of combat. And he apologized to Anthony on the way out the door. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I guess he was – I don't know if he was high or just crazy, but he did say he was sorry when the cops were arresting him.
He's lucky he didn't get killed by Anthony Smith. And yep. Listen, there's lunatics out there. You sure. know what I mean?
Brett, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Jim.
How are you holding up? You're in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas. I'm doing pretty good, man. All things considered, pretty good.
ESPN, Matt and I just were talking for a second. It's a tough spot to be in when you're all sports. So I guess they're making do and doing the best they can with just trying to keep some kind of programming on at this point.
Oh, it's a nightmare, man. I mean, you have a lot of hours to fill. And I mean, not just hours, but like people expect tweets and Instagrams and, you know, stories and all that shit. So, yeah, it's awful.
What do you think of obviously 249 was, you know, put on hold again. And I guess that came from Governor Newsom kind of maybe put a little pressure on Disney. And you think that's kind of what got that started?
Yeah. I've had some managers, you know, give me their opinion that politics had something to do with it. Yeah, I mean, it's not like ESPN was unaware that the UFC was trying to put on a fight. And then, you know, that it when things change, they seem to change pretty quickly. Like, hey, we're going to try and do this. And then all of a sudden that, you know, ESPN asked Dana to stand down and it was just over, you know. So, I mean, it's weird times, man. It's weird times. A politician in California says that his state is shut down. He doesn't want to have it. Expresses that to ESPN. It's like, you know, I mean, can't see these things coming a little bit because we're just in such weird times. I mean, all this is so unprecedented.
Brett, how was that? Must have been, I'm imagining, not awkward, maybe awkward. How was Dana's demeanor before and after breaking that news that the thing was canceled? Because we know that he's been trying his balls off to try to get this event on. How was he? How was he before and after?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to take a guess over there, Matt, I'm assuming that you would guess that he wasn't too happy, right? he was in better spirits than I was anticipating him to be. I mean, I went over there to do the interview, and I got there before he did. He was coming over because we did it at the Apex, and he was still at the headquarters, so they came over from across the street. And I was like, you know, this interview will be fine. I've interviewed Dana a million times, but I was expecting angry Dana. You know, I was expecting that type of that type of interview. But I think. It's cliche, but I think, you know, it's almost like a fighter, if he loses a fight, if he thinks like he did everything that he could to win it, you know, that it almost makes you feel a little bit better about it. And also, you know, he does really have a whole lot of respect for ESPN. He just does, man. I mean, he's told me a million times, you know, over the last year or so that he has a lot of respect for Jimmy Pitaro and the decisions that ESPN makes and what they bring to the sport. So I think... Because, as you know, Matt, when Dana respects somebody, especially in business, he'll listen to them, you know, and he's a loyal guy. If he doesn't respect you, then you get like kind of an irrational, sometimes, you know, really aggressive conversation.
Yes. You know,
the thing that ESPN gets.
100%. And I know he respects Vince McMahon. How is it that the WWE is an essential? I just want to know for my own.
It's all sports, though, isn't it? Isn't it considered all sports that can be done without an audience? It's not just WWE. I think that was Florida made that, right?
Yeah. Florida ruled that, you know, I mean, all of the things that you would, the obvious essential ones that you would consider, like grocery stores and healthcare and all that. But then they also said that WWE was and is essential because of the money that it brings to the economy. And then they broadened it by saying, you know, kind of any entertainment and sport is open for business right now in Florida.
Oh, they did originally just say WWE. I didn't even know that. I thought they just did it with all sports. Wow. I guess that's a smart move.
I think that was kind of driving the conversation because WWE has such a presence there. But then, when they made that ruling, all sports were included in that.
So I'd imagine they'd be doing it how Dana wants to do it with just the two pro wrestlers messing around, right? I mean, they're obviously not having an audience.
That's how they've done it, yeah.
I think so. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a pro wrestling fan. The only reason I've been following this story is because of how it might impact, you know, other sports. But yeah, I think that that's the case. You know, they have that performance center similar to what the UFC has in Vegas, where they have a controlled environment. So, I mean, Florida says that you can have those events, but you can't have the live crowds with it that usually come along with them.
Well, they did WrestleMania this year. I mean, I'm not a wrestling guy either, but my co-host is kind of almost an announcer in wrestling at this point, Sam. And they had they did WrestleMania without an audience. And they did it in like two different locations. I mean, they were very innovative. They've always been pretty creative. So I think that if Orlando is going to allow that, I'm sure Dana would do something down there. It'd be crazy not to.
That's the speculation right now. I mean, he says they're going to do the event on May 9th, and he's not giving away the location to. I mean, I've talked to some fighters on the card and the managers and some other people within the organization. He's not saying where it is, but that's the speculation. I mean, everybody's sort of speculating it's going to happen in Florida, so we'll see.
So Fighter Island is not up and ready yet? Is that what's going on, or?
Yeah, so there's two things. So he said Fight Island is not going to be operational until about mid-May. And the reason the Fight Island exists is not for the fighters here in the States. It's for the ones that are fighting internationally. So you're not going to, like, everybody on that card, that card that he talked about on May 9th, you know, if you guys saw all the fights that he's targeting, all of those guys are based in the United States. But when Fight Island opens, if and when it opens, he is targeting that for you know, European fighters, Australian fighters, those type of people that would have a hard time getting into the States, potentially.
Yeah, so if he has to do cards, so some cards are going to be just guys that happen to be here or just women who are here. And then that's pretty smart to actually have an option, because if it's another 2 or 3 months before people are being allowed in, you can't have guys not fighting for 2 or 3 months just because they don't live in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, that's a large part of the roster that's their livelihood, too. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be able to have fights internationally.
Do you know just what I hadn't thought of? Kevin?
No, I was just wondering, like, Fight Island, it sounds amazing, but what kind of hospital is going to be on Fight Island? Like, what if someone going to fly someone out with a broken leg, so the nearest fucking hospital, like, nearest, where the fuck is this place?
I don't know where it is, man. I don't know where it is. I would love to know, and obviously, when and if this thing happens, all those questions, man, I mean, people are going to have questions. You got to have all that stuff in place, right? I mean, I'm picturing some type of, I mean, he said it's under construction right now. So Can you construct, you know, a makeshift, you know, like a small medical facility? Yeah, I mean, probably, you know. And then if there are serious injuries, I mean, even if, I mean, as you guys know, a lot of guys are treated and stitched up at the arenas on normal fights. And then if they require serious medical attention, then they have to go to a hospital. So I, depending on where this place is, you know, who knows where the closest hospital is. Maybe it's just off, you know, a metropolitan area where they could take them to a hospital. I don't know. These are all great questions.
It's also something I hadn't thought of before when they were talking about doing it in California on that reservation. It was like, oh, yeah, if a fighter gets really hurt and they have to go to the hospital, that hospital may have beds that are being saved for, you know, that may have been where they got the pressure from, too. Like, hey, these hospitals are needed. We can't have something additional possibly filling up hospital beds or doctor's time or OR time. So maybe that's what finally got the governor to move.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things, man. I mean, it is tough to be telling your state that it's mandatory to stay home, and then, you know, people are flying in to have an event. But I mean, my opinion on this, like, just personally, has kind of, you know, evolved over the course of time. You know, initially it was like, it's real easy to just say no. I mean, let's shut everything down. I mean, health is first and foremost. But I think as this goes on, and you're reading about all of the economic impacts that it has, if the UFC can get its hands on tests, if they can test guys, if they can bring them to a safe location, quarantine them, you know, in a controlled environment, have fights, and by having those fights, you know, it's generating millions of dollars in ads, and ESPN is benefiting from it. I mean, I know people at ESPN that are nervous for their jobs. You know, when it starts to impact you personally, and you're seeing, you know, people lose their jobs in the industry that you're part of, that's when you start to think like, okay, I want to take this seriously health-wise. But if there is a way that these fighters are willing to get to a location, be tested, find out that they don't have it, stay in a hotel that's shut down, you know, have food brought to them. I mean, these are the types of conversations that we might need to start having in this weird time, you know.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I was going to say, because that's exactly it. You can have them tested. You can have everybody. You can have a closed environment that, like, you know, Dana White or Vince or a professional sports team can afford to do. So you actually can do it safely if everybody is tested and the environment is closed and people aren't interacting outside. It's something that can work without endangering the community. I mean, but yeah, you're right. When you start to see, like, the industry you're in, like, I check stock every day. I'm like, well, fuck, is SiriusXM okay? Like, you know, you start to panic about these parent companies because, you know, nobody's making any money right now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Is May 9th, it's not concrete. I mean, is it close to concrete? What is the word for May 9th? Because that's literally 3 weeks away.
Yeah. So I think here's what's going on. The UFC is working, right? I mean, they feel like Dana White says, I could have put this fight on this weekend. You know, it's Wednesday. I could have put a fight on Saturday. I had it all in place and I was asked not to. But I'm going to continue working. And when they stop telling me that they don't want it, then I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to be in a position to go, like, immediately. So they're working on a card. They are building a card, and they believe that they, you know, can find a location, do it all safely, and that maybe, you know, 3 weeks from now, ESPN's temperament towards it, or, you know, now if it's not in California and it's a different, you know, politician or you know, political system that they're working with, that ESPN will be behind them at that time, and then they're good to go. I mean, the fighters are asking themselves the same thing. Like, what guarantees can you give us that this fight is happening? None. I mean, there's no guarantee for anything right now in any industry. But the UFC is they're going to continue to build cards. And when ESPN says they can go and state governments say they can go, then they're going to go.
What I'm most amazed at is that Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. That was one I didn't see coming. I honestly didn't think Dominic would ever fight again. He's doing so well as an announcer, and he had gotten hurt. And I'm like, I didn't picture him fighting again. I'm actually glad that he's available.
Yeah, I always kind of knew that he had the ambition and the desire to fight again. It was never really something in his mind that he was not going to fight again. I'm a little surprised he's coming back to an immediate title shot. But
I mean, I was going to say, deservingly so, though. I mean, the guy is a legend. I mean, you look at what he's done and the only guys he lost to. I mean, I have no problem with you give him a tune-up fight first. We might never see him again.
Right.
He gets injured a lot. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Just get him in there safe. I'll see him fight anybody. I mean, and that's an intriguing fight, I feel. I mean, I like that better than Aldo and Cejudo.
It's a very intriguing fight. I'm a little surprised, Matt, that you're going to bat for your guy Aljo, because I feel like Aljo has a good case for a title shot. But I agree with you in that I would say that Petr Yan, Aljamain Sterling, they deserve it more. And there's no question in my mind that they deserve it more than Dominic, who hasn't fought in years and is coming off of a loss. But to your point, I mean, Dominic still to me is the best bantamweight of all time. He still has that on his resume.
Yes.
And I like the fight. Just personally, as a fan, I really like the fight between Henry and Dominic. I'm very intrigued by it.
I am also, of course, I'd want my guy Aljo, because I feel Aljo has all the tools to be the champion. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to Henry, you know, he's very clear on just going on like a legend, like taking out the legends, taking out the huge names. That's what he wanted Aldo. I mean, you know, and you look at the last few guys he beat, and he's just, that's more intriguing to him. And if you look at it, Aljo's not just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, crazy hard matchup. You know what I mean? Dominic's done so much in the sport. Aljo's still a legend in the making. You know what I mean? So I understand Henry's point of view on this.
And I'm sure that this isn't much of a silver lining for Aljo, but I will say, like, if Henry goes and does this, and let's say he beats Dominic Cruz, let's say he beats Jose Aldo, he's going to be a bigger star by the time Aljamain fights him.
Yes.
And then that helps out. That helps Aljamain as well. You know, so. Again, if it were up to me, like I'm kind of a purist. I tend to lean towards the purist side of the sport. So I like the idea of rankings. I like the idea of giving title shots to the guys who really deserve them. But, you know, I'm not terribly upset about this one. You know, I mean, I'd be excited for that fight to happen.
I'm surprised about Olenek Verdum. Verdum hasn't fought since, I guess, a little over 2 years. Was he hurt or was he semi-retired? What was he doing for the last 2 years?
He was suspended.
He was suspended.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he tested positive. I forget exactly for what it was, but he was suspended for a long time. And then he actually got it reduced. He was supposed to be out even longer, but he got it reduced from USADA, you know, through an appeals process or giving them information. So he's back a little bit earlier. But, yeah, he's been out because of the suspension.
Oh, okay. Well,
hey, I'm sorry.
Jacare, Uriah Hall is a fight that I really want to see. I'm happy for those guys as well. I'm happy for Uriah Hall. I want to see him get a couple of more big fights. I would love to see him eventually get a shot at Adesanya. I think that's a matchup I would love to see, even though right now the rankings don't really justify it.
You know what I like? I just read recently you shared on Twitter. I'm off Twitter, but I'm reading it here. I hate fucking Twitter. Too negative. too many assholes. But I read on here that you kept all your rejection letters you got from jobs and internships over the years, and you put that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Is that correct, Brett?
Yeah.
Was there any one rejection that was like particularly devastating? Oh no.
No. I mean, like they all were kind of coming in at the same time. You know, the ones that I posted were actually when I was still in college. I was trying to get like a summer internship. You know,
yeah.
And I couldn't get one. They all came in at the same time. The one that like one part of my career that did hurt is I went and had an internship at Sports Illustrated, which was like. Sports Illustrated when I was a kid was like that'd be like a kid now wanting to fight in the UFC, you know, be a UFC champion. Like I wanted to write for Sports Illustrated, and I got an internship with them. So I moved to New York for like 3 months out of college. I lived in Manhattan. It was like one of the best times of my life, and I was just begging them for a job afterwards to keep me on doing anything, and they said no. And so I had to leave New York because I couldn't afford it and go back and live with my parents for a little bit.
How old were you?
That was right after college, so I would have been like 23.
Well, still young, but it hurt you.
I mean, I still, like you said, I was young, so I was still confident that my career was going to be fine, but it just sucked being where you wanted to be. It'd be like making it to the UFC and then you like lose a fight and then you get kicked out right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I was in New York. I was a New York guy. Like, I've always loved New York. I like the energy of the city and living in Manhattan and riding the subway to Sports Illustrated. I was working my dream job. And then I was like, come on, keep me on. And they wouldn't keep me on. So I had to.
Did they give you a reason?
I mean, it was just an internship, you know, so they just didn't have a position for me. Yeah.
OK, but it wasn't like there was two guys and one guy got it over you. There was just nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, things look like they worked out for you, though.
Oh, man. Things worked out great. Yeah.
You're on here talking to Jimmy Norton. Look at you.
I never thought. Crazy. Oh, man. What I get to do. Talking to Jimmy.
That is everybody's dream when they get into sports somehow, is they get to speak to me for a little while. It really is that. It's kind of a zenith.
It is, man. Yeah. They write it on the whiteboard and when they circle it, like, someday, baby, someday it's going to happen.
I like that Calvin Kattar is versus Jeremy Stephens. I think that's an amazing fight.
Oh, that's a sick fight. And that fight's been together for a while. You know, that was supposed to happen at 249, I believe. And maybe, was it supposed to happen even before then?
It crept up on me because I was reading. I'm like, oh, it's one of those that's popped out. I'm like, how come I didn't hear about that? That could be a main event somewhere. You know?
I love that fight. I love that whole 145-pound division, man. Jeremy Stephens, Calvin Kattar, Shane Burgos, Brian Ortega, Zabit Yair, Alex just took the belt from Max. Like, that featherweight division is absolutely sick.
I mean, I think of that fight with Calvin Kattar and Zabit. And I was just like, yo, man, if that was a 5-rounder in a main event, I feel that it would have been a different. I mean, personally, the way it was going, it looked like he was starting to fade. And Calvin was just, he looked like he could do another 5 rounds, you know what I mean? For that third round.
It was one of those where you were going to see Calvin really take over in the fourth or fifth, or you were really going to see what Zabit, like he was going to have himself tested in that fourth and fifth rounds, you know? And, like, sometimes those guys rise to the occasion, you know? Like, the one that comes to mind is, like, when Connor was fighting Nate for the second time. Remember that?
Just thinking
like, oh, no. Nate's got him. Nate's got him again. This is over. And then all of a sudden, the fourth round, Connor was like, he got his second win. Like, would Zabit have been able to get that? Like, that's pretty fascinating. I don't know. Maybe
you also wonder if you sprung it on him, if you sprung a fourth round on him, but if he knew he was fighting 5 rounds, he might pace himself differently in the first three.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, bring that shit up to Kyle Bakunac. What's Kyle's name? What's Kyle's Bakunac?
Bosniak. Yeah.
Bosniak. I think you might be killing it too, Brett. Kyle, I got to give this. This is a tough kid. And again, similar circumstance where they knew it was 3 rounds. Yeah. Zabit was gassing in 3 rounds. It always feels like I'm shitting on Zabit. I don't want to do this. He trains with my buddies, Mark Henry and Hikaru. I'm not trying to shit, but it's just something you're noticing of us. You know, people talk about him being the next champ, and man, there's a flaw there with the endurance. Get that dude on a fucking VersaClimber.
That is, I mean, that's what everybody's saying, man, is that he doesn't have a gas tank. Well, we're going to find out eventually, because those guys at 145, like, if you don't have a gas tank, you're not going to win that title. It's just not going to happen.
100%.
Yeah, they accused Woodley of that too. You know, Woodley would always have to hear that he didn't. And then you look at the Wonder Boy fights, and you know, sometimes they have a couple of fights where it looks like they don't have any gas, and all of a sudden they do. I can't explain why, but he got that criticism a lot.
Well, Tyron became a master at pacing himself, right? That's why a lot of people didn't like his fighting style, because he would conserve energy. But he was very smart about it. You know, I mean, that's a competitor in him that he knew he had to do that. That a lot of his stuff is explosive, and he just had to pace himself correctly.
He caught a lot of shit for that Damian Maia fight, and it was not the most exciting fight, but I don't know what people really expected him to do. I mean, you know, you're not going to sit there and get taken down by Maia. I mean, how many takedowns did he stop? I thought he did a great job in that fight, and people were just going to kind of shit on him because it wasn't exciting enough.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to Tyron fighting Leon Edwards, who I don't think that guy gets enough respect at all. I always bring that up. I think Leon Edwards is a stud. He hasn't lost to the last time he lost was to the champ, Kamaru Usman, like fucking how many years ago?
Yeah.
He'd been on a tear beating jiu-jitsu guys, which taking him down, Gunnar Nelson, and beat a former champ in RDA. And just, he really fights so intelligent. And such a well-rounded skill set, but I think he just is one of those guys that he doesn't have the biggest mouth. Yeah. And again, he's known the best for taking that three-piece, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
He's going to have his coming out party soon. I was so looking forward to that fight with Tyron.
Couldn't agree more, man. I hope it's tough now, because if they do this Fight Island thing and it's basically only international versus international and U.S. versus U.S., who's he going to fight? I mean, I'm trying to think of that welterweight division. You know, I mean, the top guys, Colby and Tyron and, I mean, who else is up there at 170 pounds? They're all from here.
Yeah, but why would it be that Fight Island only has international? It would be, I understand, for international fighters, but that means they're only fighting other international fighters.
Can't U.S. fighters fly there, or is there if you're based in the U.S. there's no restriction on you flying out? Is there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think different. I'm not positive on this, but I think that. It varies from country to country, right? I mean, different countries have different laws in place. And right now, it's like, I think a lot of it is looking at hotspots, you know? So if you had a fighter trying to fly out of New York somewhere, I think that there would be some countries that would be a little iffy about that. But I'm not positive, to be honest.
Yeah, because if this island is bringing in international fighters and you can fly in U.S.-based fighters, you just can't get the international guys into the States, you can still do a lot of those matchups.
Yeah.
I never thought about this. Where the fuck's the after party on Fight Island? The fuck we doing?
I think.
I guess that's the least.
10 feet down the beach, man. I mean,
you're at the
after party. Once you step out of the octagon, man, you're on the beach. I think.
Just gotta fly in some groupies. All right, Brett.
Yeah, I guess we'll know more soon.
Hey, man, it's fun talking to you guys, you know? It's a little boring in the house, you know? It's getting repetitive, so it's good to see you guys are doing well. Matt, you got a nice-looking bedroom. What is that? Where are you at?
This is my bedroom. I always blur this out, but I just like to slap to this and tell Jimmy that this is where the magic happens with me and my wife. But, Brett, sorry for the TMI towards the end of this thing, and I will talk to you soon, brother. Thank you for bullshit with us.
Be well, guys. We'll see
you. All right, Brett. Take care, man.
Take care, homie. Jimmy.
Yeah, that island. You could bring in, again, unless there's a reason, like you said, there's a hotspot that people can't fly out of. You could do a lot of matchups on that island. But again, I don't even know how long they're going to need the island for. You know, it might be something that you might need until, but if they're already allowing it in Orlando and possibly in Orlando, eventually they'll start getting flights back in, private flights back in where they can test people before they come in.
You might want to keep the island.
Maybe, yeah. For an emergency.
For emergency or for shits and giggles, man. What the hell could they make that island? How big is the island?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there room for a fans if you wanted to do that?
Man, I mean, there's so many possibilities, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from the official electric razor of UFC, Manscaped. You ever have an awkward moment where you had to spar against someone who's had a full bush coming out of their shorts? Matt, I never have. Manscaped has everything you need to keep your package nice and tidy. Manscaped partners with top-tier UFC athletes like Max Holloway, Francis Ngannou, Brian Ortega, and these fighters know that hygiene is a priority. However, as much as I'm happy for Manscaped, I don't want to know what Ngannou's pubes look like. It's just, I can't think of that while I'm watching Brian Ortega fight. He's strangling somebody. Thank God he's trimmed.
Jimmy, to look good is to feel good, though, and you know that. So when I use my Manscaped, I feel good.
Use the Lawnmower 3.0. It comes with their new perfect...
Yes!
3.0 makes you step up your grooming game. It's literally everything you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling nice. All right, look, speaking of smelling nice, let's be real.
Yes. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You smell your balls after a long training session?
Not lately, Jimmy.
All right, but has anybody ever commented on your balls? I've smelled my balls after I cut the grass, and they're pretty awful. Thank God for Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep balls from sweating, smelling, and sticky. There's nothing worse. Perfect package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs. It's not only comfy, but they're also anti-chafing. You get 20% off. Plus free shipping, code UFC20, manscaped.com. Give the perfect gift for your balls and your sparring partner. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code UFC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code UFC20. Thank you, Manscaped, for supporting mixed martial artists worldwide. And as a fan, to know that their balls are smelling good makes me enjoy the sport even more.
What's going on, brother?
Calvin, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm upset that you didn't have to, that you didn't go five rounds with Sabeat. I'm sorry to bring up old shit, but I'm a Calvin Cato fan.
Thank you, brother.
And main event should be five effing rounds.
Speak louder for the people in the back.
What?
Speak louder for the people in the back.
Man, main event should be five fucking rounds, man.
Man, what are you going to do? I agreed to three. I should have got it done in three. Maybe I only needed four. We'll see next time we go.
Were you willing to go five and his camp made them?
If you guys don't know at this point, I don't give a fuck. I'm down for everything. Five rounds. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
Russia, cool. Pandemic, where are we going? Fight Island? I don't care. As long as it's the same date and we stick to, you know, what's going on for the most part, just let me know a little bit in advance and let's get to work, you know?
When I think of you and Jeremy Stevens fighting, I think of something out of, like, the fucking OK Corral. I see two, like, fucking gunslingers with the hats on. And you guys are cut from that cloth, like, just new school, but with an old school feel. Yep. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it sprung on me. I want to hear how this got presented to you. Right. Cause I heard it was a while ago. Cause I was going through a matchup and I'm going through the line and I go, holy shit, man. Like, where the fuck did this come from? That could be a main event in my book anywhere. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Fight night, man. We were scheduled to fight for the March 7th. I had accepted it for like January 5th. So I'm going on 14 weeks now, you know, training hard for the same guy. They bumped it back to April 18th, and unfortunately, we didn't get it off March 7th, or we'd all be, you know, on a different boat right now. But here we are, and we're on this roller coaster ride. They're saying potentially May 9th. So who knows, man? Like I said, I'm down, but I would like to have something squared away for the last one because, I mean, it was pretty much showtime.
And you're going against, sorry, man, it's a very dangerous Jeremy Stevens, too, because, I mean, there was three, you could say three losses in a row if you want to count plus the four no-win fights because of the Yair fight. And that's a dangerous place to have to fight a guy because you know that, I mean, every guy wants to win, but he's in a really, he's probably in a desperate position for a win right now.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, all it takes is one loss to get me feeling like that. And I'm coming off one, too, so he's not fighting an easy right. Calvin Cater either. You know, I'm hungry like I always am, but a little bit more, another chip on my shoulder is coming off that last one. I felt like I could have done just a little more to get the job done, but I have a, you know, good, different opponent, same, you know, tough task ahead of me with Jeremy, but like you're saying, it's going to be like that Western style, you know, and I can't wait, man. He'll be looking, trying to obviously bounce back after going 0-3, but top 10 talent in the world. I understand he's still a dangerous guy. But I'll be looking to put him away from start to finish.
Now, when this first thing happened with this whole thing with the virus and everybody now has to stay home, you're a big golfer, I remember, correct?
Haverhill now, Haverhill area. I was in Medford, Mass, but Massachusetts.
Wait, I'm talking about a golfer. You're a big golfer.
Oh, you play golf, yeah.
Golf town. I thought you said golf town. Yeah. I'm a golfer for sure.
Now, when this thing first happened, I could see you with hanging out on that fucking golf course. How are you taking this whole thing in? And where are you now compared to when it first started? Because I believe they shut the golf courses down.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. I mean, you're really kind of out there on your own, but I think people were starting to tailgate out there in the parking lots and things. You know, they were having too much fun with it. And then there's always those Debbie Downers, you know, making those phone calls, ratting everybody. But For me, honestly, it's tough for me to enjoy the golf coming off an L too. I take it. Just I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. I don't care what the date is. You tell me. My plan before this fight, it's not even about Jeremy Stephens. It's about getting what's mine. I want to go 3-0 this year, and now we're already kind of set back, pushing the calendar year back. I'm hungry, and I just want to go out, compete against these guys and just put together a little run and just take out everybody in front of me.
Now, how do you how do you process a loss when you go? I mean, everyone hates it, but what do you do? Like, how long does it take you to shake it off? Do you let yourself dwell a little bit or no?
No, I mean, I do the same thing I'm doing during this pandemic. All you could do is focus on the positives. Obviously, you know, go back to the drawing board, see the mistakes you made. But, you know, and even though I prefer to learn off wins, you know, I still do the same thing off a win. It's not like I sit back, oh, look how great I don't know.
Yeah.
We see things we did right, see things we did wrong, and we go back to the drawing board, get to work, and try to, you know, fill up all the buckets that for some reason, you know, didn't really work out right in the fight. And so for this one right now, I'm hungry to compete. It's been, like I said, 14 weeks, and I felt like I got close to the end of the race. I just didn't get to cross the finish line in this last one. It's very unfulfilling, unsatisfying. As you know, the food after, just it's not even worth it. Of course, we had Easter. I had a cutlet. You know, of course, the same bullshit routine, but it just didn't have the same taste, man. I want to, even if it's after a loss, whatever, at least I got to go out and compete and finish what I started. I still haven't been able to finish what I started yet. So it's the book's still open. I'm ready to, you know, put an end to Jeremy Stephens when we step in there and then enjoy the post-cutlet after the fight that hopefully it tastes a little better, you know, after competing.
You know, sometimes, and being a guy that used to scrap, like some losses, they set you back different than other losses. Now, you might have an L on your record from this last one.
Yeah.
But as a fight fan, like, yes, it's a loss, but fuck, man, don't feel like you lost. It doesn't feel like, oh, man, Cal really slipped in that one. It was more of, oh, if he only had another round.
Right there. I just ran out of time.
Exactly.
You see the way I'm losing, Matt, and you see the way I'm winning. You know, it's coming. So, you know, I just got to little details, man. I got to clean it up a little bit more. I'm working hard. But like I said, you see the way I'm winning and you see the way I'm losing. And it's that should say enough about, you know, what I'm trying to do out there. And Jeremy's another tough test ahead of me, but I got to be able to beat guys like that if I want to put that belt around my waist. So for me, it's just, you know, another opportunity to go out and show what I could do.
Have they indicated where this fight might be? We're thinking, I'm thinking possibly Orlando because of this whole ruling that they're now essential.
Man, that's funny. They even switched their stance from the get-go, huh? They're like, Florida doesn't have to prepare like these other states and whatever, man. Honestly, the whole time since this all started, people are asking me like 3 weeks out from the fight, 4 weeks out from the fight, what do you think this is going to happen? I go 0%, but I got to train like 100%. You know, so I'm training 100%, but realistically, I thought there was 0% this event was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, Dana starts talking about, you know, Fight Islands, and he's got a location. It's got a 99.99% chance of happening. I'm like, shit, maybe I'll go to 50%. This might happen. And then the week before, I'm getting flight itineraries. I got to confirm. And, you know, so now I'm closing on him. I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to happen. And then literally get off the live with Fred Okamoto. And 15 minutes later, he's on going live with Dana, canceling it. So it's just like, it's been a whirlwind. And like I was going to say, you can get caught up in all the things you can't control and all the hypotheticals, the what ifs, the possibles, but I just focus on the things I can control and let the other bullshit work itself out. I'm not the promoter. Let Dana White worry about where it is. My job is to just be ready what goes on in that octagon for 15 minutes.
I guess that's the only way to keep yourself sane too, especially now where everything's changing so fast, is if you get caught up in the result being a certain way or the fight happening on a certain date, it's just, yep, it's not worth the emotions up and down.
Or seeing the fight happen a certain way. I mean, I just see myself getting my hand raised and how that happens is gonna how he reacts to what I do. You know, I'm not gonna go in there too much with the playbook. I feel like I kind of did that maybe a little bit with the Zabit fight, too much of the playbook, too much of the bullshit, and just go out there and feel it, you know, trust your gut and go out and have some fun if you know, while you're in the middle of a fist fight.
How does it work with your training partners now? Like, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, very limited, obviously. I'm sure you guys are feeling it too. All these, you know, all the gyms around here, it's tightening up and it's not easy, but at the same time, I stick with a core group of guys mainly. And I think that's the model. You know, I think We could have gone to that ATT style where, you know, they got a bunch of champions out there and killers. You walk in that gym, there's no way you don't leave with a good workout. But, you know, I feel like I got good coaches and training partners around me that care about me, care about the work I put in, notice the little details, will stay that extra half hour, hour put in, review. They'll do the extra notes. They'll go the extra mile. And you're seeing it, the ones that are doing it right now, more specifically, the ones that, you know, it's just I appreciate that level given everything that's going on. I like to surround myself with almost like management, family, everybody around me. I keep it kind of like close knit. So, you know, can't get too big when you keep a nice close knit tight group around you. So that's the way I like it.
It hasn't been harder to motivate yourself. I mean, it just feels like almost it's apocalyptic sometimes when you go out. Has it been harder to get yourself to focus and do what you got to do?
Man, the more shit hits the fan, the more I dig deep. I love that shit, man. More chips. Give me more Versa. I feed off that shit. It's my gasoline every day. Like, I swear, man, it could be like a rainy day. All right. Like, let me see some fucking thunder lightning. I'll throw more on my life. I don't get like, whatever. What else can you do? There's only so much shit you can throw at me. Yeah. And eventually you're going to run out of shit. You know, just keep coming, motherfucker. I'll take it off.
You just summed up your last fight, man. Like, yeah, I threw everything at you, and you're still in his fucking face.
Everybody.
I love it.
It's a healthy mindset, man. I tell you, this way, no matter what happens to you, you don't really give a fuck, you know?
That's it. Hey, man, that's great, man. I like what you said about having that core group around you.
It's because,
hey, man, win, awesome. Lose, they're like a safety net.
Exactly.
That's the way to be. You know what I mean?
It takes a team, man. It's that support system. I have it. I'm fortunate enough to have it around me. I think that's a big part of successful people is being able to put good people around you and allow them to, you know, help you and do their job. So, like, especially, you know, I follow Rob Font's model a lot, especially since he was in the UFC when I was coming back from my layoff. And he did a really great job at that, adding in a strength and conditioning guy, adding in a nutrients person, having a great manager, you know, and just adding pieces to the team. This way he can sit back, focus on the training and only worry about that and let them, you know, trust what they're telling him to do. They're specialists in their individual fields. And so, you know, I kind of follow that model. And right now I feel like I got a great team around me. And that's what makes me confident every time I step in there is just the preparation, the attention to details and really the people I have around me going that extra mile.
Now, Calvin, I'm sorry, Judy, but this is a very, very important question. I was saving this one up. Did you watch fucking Lion King? Did you watch Tiger King?
I mean, who didn't?
Holy shit!
I watched episode 8. Did you? The follow-up? Yes. Where are they now?
Yeah.
Joel McCall? What's his name?
Joel McHale.
McHale. He's funny. I love his... He was great, man.
Which one's this? I don't know all the names the best. Which one?
No, Joel McHale's the comedian who hosted it.
With the hat?
No, the comedian.
Oh, the guy that in episode 8?
Yes.
Yeah, he hosted it. Yeah.
He was sharing on him with the questioning.
He was funny. He's funny. Do you think Carol? My name's Carol.
Carol Baskin.
What do you think? Did she kill the husband? You think she put?
If you were Carol and you had a zoo with tigers and shit, and you wanted to off your husband, what would you do?
Where is this guy? It's the biggest show on the planet right now, and this dude's just off in Costa Rica somewhere. Yeah, they're not gonna find him.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
What a great, I mean, if you have tigers and you don't kill somebody and feed them to the tigers, there's something wrong with you.
Are you really the tiger king or queen if you don't kill somebody with your tigers? I don't know.
You have to. I mean, you're obligated. What a great evidence disposal system. But it's funny. She's the one. She wouldn't do the follow-up. She must hate this shit. She said she felt very betrayed by the producer. They really fucked her pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm pretty uncanny, as you guys can tell. I just shoot from the hip. And I put a lot of hope that the person doing the interviewing is going to chop it up nice and make me sound all right. But, you know, sometimes they could play around with how you're with your wording. And I don't know, though, in that series, I just felt like each character was more fucked up than the next.
Have you had that where you've done an interview and all of a sudden you look back at it and you're like, that's not what I was trying to say. And he knows that's not what I was trying to say.
I felt like sometimes it could have been chopped up a little bit better where, like, it didn't make me sound so running on because no one really cares. I mean, take the couple of clips you want from it. Let's move on. But sometimes they go a little deeper with it, and it's long. I'm like, damn, I said that shit.
Yeah.
A lot of shit's more when it's in print because you can't, like, when somebody says something and then they put it in print, you read it in print, it comes out differently. That
100%. 100%. And then we're all running into the shit you tweeted or Facebook 10 years ago. I see those pop up in my Facebook all the time. I'm like, what the hell was I saying?
Yeah, but
being home, Being home, what else are you watching? I like to get turned on to new shows. Are you watching anything?
Too much crazy shit, man, especially in the pandemic. I was watching Staircase. Someone put me on that, but that's 13 episodes. I'm not a big episode guy. It's a big commitment, you know? It's a lot of hours watching some shit. And
yeah, that was Staircase.
That was a woman falling down the stairs, and the husband was at the was the prime suspect because he had a friend prior, like 20 years before, that had fell at the bottom of the stairs.
His first wife, right?
Yeah, no, this one was his wife, so it was a big investigation. But there's that one. I watched the Unabomber. I've been watching a lot of fucked up shit. So, like, some comedies, maybe some stand up comedies, and then I don't want to take it too dark in this pandemic. The mood's already so dark. Yeah. You go for a walk around people, they're kind of, you know, looking at you weird. Everything's kind of changing. So, I kind of want to keep it a little bit more upbeat and carry the momentum with this nice weather, try to, you know, go into this fight a little happier.
When do you think we're going to be able to strangle each other again? I mean, I'm asking. I own two jiu-jitsu schools.
I know, man.
The fuck?
It's tough. Like, for me, that I have a core group that's all in, because they know right now I'm all in and I'm committed to a date. It's tough, man. If we were just bullshitting training, you know, just trying to stay – don't get me wrong. Obviously, staying at some type of, like, commitment, but no one's really competing. So when you're competing, it's just different, man. You want to be there for a guy that's competing, even if, say, you just got out of a fight and, you know, you're eating like shit, whatever. I'm going to come down. I'm going to at least be in the room, you know.
Yes.
Things like that, we try to be there for the guy that has the competition coming up. But if I was post-fight, for 2 days when they canceled that fight, I still trained, but I'm like, wow, the pandemic really kind of hit. Things slowed down, and I'm like, I need to book another fight.
Are you a germ guy? Some guys are really crazy about this stuff. Do you have any of that stuff naturally in you?
No, not naturally, but you definitely have the hand sanitizer in my cup holder now. It's going to and from the gyms. It's my responsibility, if I'm going to be getting training in with these guys, to at least do my part to be clean as I can. I shower before and after the gyms, obviously, which is basic, but washing the hands even before, sterilizing my steering wheel, all the little, you know, bullshit. But, whatever I could do to just kind of leave the germs where they are and not tag them along with me wherever I'm going. I try to kind of clean up and take the extra measures. That I already spray down my gear. I leave it all in the drying rack right now near my, like, the outside window. I do all those things that we kind of all get used to doing, but nothing crazy other than that, just the hand sanitizer in the car and trying to be mindful of, like, not being in places I don't need to be, like the supermarket if I don't have to, and, you know, try to be mindful of those situations where things are clogging up.
I try to not get overwhelmed by it, because I'm not a big germ freak, but I'm afraid if I start, like, I started buying wipes, and I'm like, why am I buying them every day? I'm not even using them that much. Like, I don't want to get into that fucking hoarder mentality, because that's a scary place to be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me right now, I'm just doing those little things, but it's more so trying to, if I do have downtime, trying to stay out of the kitchen. I felt like if we made that last 249, I feel like people are missing weight left and right. And that's why I dig deeper. Like I said, I eat cleaner, but I just, you know, I think about these other guys. I'm like, man, so many people are going to come in a little overweight. Or I mean, realistically, you know, flying in on maybe a Wednesday was the plan, and then you got the weight cut Thursday night and a Friday. I was interested to see how that would have played out for a lot of guys, along with that quarantine diet. I don't know. We'll see.
So right now they're saying March 9th. Is that what they're saying for you?
That's what they're saying. I'm sorry, May 9th.
I'm sorry. I fucked that up. Strange times, guys.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. But, I mean, the fight will happen. Hopefully, it will be the 9th.
Maybe,
and,
right?
I'll tell you, man, I can't think of a more exciting fight, and I mean that.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah, I'm excited to go and put on a show. I feel like, you know, I was excited about being the only show in town for, you know, the 18th. And here we are, we're the first show in town, hopefully, at the least. You know, some kind of normalcy bring back to everybody just sitting around. I know they're all fiending for something to watch. That's why we're all watching so much damn Netflix. It's crazy. Right. I don't know what to do. I just want to give the people something to, you know, get excited about and put on a show.
You know, well, the UFC Brasilia showed that the fans, at least for me watching from the outside, I didn't miss it at all. Like, I'm sure it's different. Who was it that Matt that said he was more nervous just because you could hear sounds that you normally didn't hear? Who said that? What fighter said that? Do you remember?
It might have been Gilbert.
Gilbert Burns, yes.
I'm pretty sure it was.
No, I think you're right.
It affected him too much, though, huh, with that short hook. That was nice.
Yeah, he handled his nerves well. Yeah, you're right.
Gilbert Burns.
We're training without music, right? We're doing, I mean, the little things you can, man, whatever. Make it, it's going to be weird in sparring too, you know? We try to bring that weirdness into the gym and kill the music, listen to the coaching, and it'll be interesting when we can hear each. I was joking, saying, man, everyone's going to know everybody's call signs after these fights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going to hear it all in the background, but should be.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will happen, Calvin. I mean, I feel good about this, especially since Florida now is kind of saying they're gonna back sports. So hopefully May 9th you get to fight.
Yeah, I don't get high with it, low, man. Maybe it's going to happen. Either way, I'm just putting 100% in each session, each day. Eventually shit's going to come around and I'll be ready.
It's going to be a massive card. Everyone is going to be watching this. And they think, what they say, Matt, 3 title fights?
Yes. Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz.
Yep.
That came to mind.
What's that? Amanda Nunes.
On it, right?
Yeah, and of course, Gaethje against Ferguson.
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching. Let's knock on some wood. All right. Hope this fucking thing goes through.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Appreciate you guys, man. Good talking to you both.
All right, Calvin. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Come on after the fight.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
All right. Good luck, man. Take care, man.
All right, Calvin.
You too, bud. Yeah.
I mean, that, first of all, that's a great fight.
It's a great fight.
I mean, again, that one snuck up on me when I read it, that was booked. And again, that could be a main event on another card, you know. But what a card. And Jimmy, you know, I know Dana's got some shit from certain people, so I'm not. I praise the guy for trying to get the fights going. I get some kind of. I mean, first of all, guys want to eat. I know it is. It's not always cut and dry. You want to do it safe. You want to do everything. Yeah. Everybody's okay. But it will bring some normalcy.
Yeah.
Ready? Cut that. Bring it back. It will bring some normalcy to a crazy world right now, Jimmy.
Yeah. And I don't think Dana's doing anything wrong. He's literally just trying to make something happen. Dana's not saying fuck the health of anybody. He's trying to do it where everybody is safe. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do it. You can do, you know, 2 guys fighting and a couple of other guys separate. You can do it with a very minimal amount of people. And if they figure out how to do that, you know, well, he's not doing anything wrong.
Hey, man, guys got to eat. People got to eat. Fighters got to eat, you know?
That's right.
But so, Jimmy, tell me the rest of your day, my friend.
Honestly, I might go shopping and that's it. I don't have a whole lot to do, Matt, the rest of my day. I'm probably going to treat my penis like a squeeze toy. And that's gonna be my day.
You're popping a Blue Chew after this, aren't you? Don't do that.
Yeah, just by myself around the apartment, walk around the Blue Chew and feel like a man.
Well, I got a date with my wife later, so I'm looking forward to that.
Enjoy.
We're not going anywhere. That's where we're going.
That's a day. That's the destination. Good.
Listen, we're gonna party, Jimmy. I miss you. I will definitely talk to you before next week.
Yes.
You know. And hey, man, everybody, stay safe, and we will get through this together, Jimmy. Together, we'll get through this.
All right, buddy.
I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right. See you later.
Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.